You've often talked about the importance of community and culture, and what role do you think local music and art scenes play in shaping political and social change?
Yes, I love these questions. We love this radio network. So culture I define from a design thinking perspective, which is about a shared set of values. And what is really interesting when you understand culture as a shared set of values and not necessarily as something that's like synonymous with someone's religious background or ethnicity or geographical background or whatever, is that you can come to understand how we build this thing called society with all of these people from all of these diverse backgrounds and experiences because we come together to prioritize certain values. And the thing that I find really interesting about that as a concept is that those values can be either implicit, so kind of not spoken about, or they can be explicit. So that would be the more intentional framework. And what is so awesome about arts and about music is that it is a form of communication and bringing together the collective and a shared experience by which we can be intentional about the values that we are practicing. And there is so much power in that. And this leads me to kind of reflect on, you know, we had the mega strike last week or so with 100,000 plus public servants from, you know, our firefighters, our nurses, our teachers, all walking off the job because, you know, they're kind of saying things aren't working right now and maybe they should be empowered to have the resources to do their jobs, which they don't do for the glory or the paycheck, but to look after sick people and our children, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just buck wild seeing the Luxon government's response going, this is political. My guys, of course it's political. Politics is not about petty partisan nonsense. Politics is about power and it's about resources and it's about who gets to make decisions that saturate and shape our daily lives, the opportunities that we have access to and that we're denied. So I think to kind of connect those dots, art and live music and those collective spaces and community are such incredible prompts for and spaces to mull over the ideas of what is possible. You know, like I reflect on how for 2 years now at the Palestine Solidarity rallies, you know, just turning up and trying to figure out like what the hell is there to say at this point, you know, at this point in the genocide, you know, as governments have consistently shown themselves to be complicit and sit on their hands, et cetera, et cetera. And you kind of just have to remind everybody who is turning up in that space that while we know very clearly what we're against and what we're opposed to, that's not where we draw our strength from. We draw our strength from being in this space with all of these people who we have something that we share in common with, which is so much bigger than anything that might divide us. And that's the beauty of music.
Well said. Very, very well said. That's a good segue, actually. Because how do you think art can make political ideas more accessible or emotionally resonant for people who might feel disconnected from politics?
Well, to quote a Dick Move lyric, yes, when the government chooses landlords over nurses. I mean, it's really as simple as that, right? It's just kind of connecting with people in a way that they might not necessarily or typically understandably respond to something which is coming out of the mouth of somebody in a suit. So it's just literally an idea being communicated in a more accessible and relevant way. But this is also kind of part and parcel of what we've been talking about, is it's really important for people to understand that you should not leave politics to the politicians because we'll get what we've always got. And clearly, that is not a politics which is serving our country. So all of us are inherently political because all politics is about is, again, power and resources and all of those kinds of things. So if we are, I think, more intentionally explicit about our politics and about our values and about the things that we can create if we're working together, particularly in those music spaces, then, dude, we can do so many things. It's so cool. This country is so cool. Like, if people ever feel any sense of despair, just go and look at the people who are doing cool stuff and bask in that and maybe participate in it and you'll find happiness, my friend.
Oh. But that is a good point because there are so many beautiful safe havens, as we were talking about before, you know, shout out Feather with the Dark Room and Space Academy and obviously Lucy running Double Whammy up in Tamaki as well.
Yeah.
And so save our venues. Obviously, you are probably quite well established with knowing a lot of stuff about it. What are your thoughts?
In general, what are your thoughts on the Save Our Venues? So my hot take is that our cities are not museums. our cities are spaces that bring people together in density, and they should be living, breathing reflections of and evolutions of the aspirations and the risks that those people take. And yeah, just like sometimes a bit of a hot mess. That's my hot take. My hot take is that cities are meant to be noisy. And, you know, this is very much a live issue in Tamaki Makaurau as well, particularly in the city centre, where, you know, in these surrounding suburbs, we have had quite a lot of gentrification over the last 40 or so years. And now there's people who claim that that's like the character of the neighbourhood, is these renoed villas, as opposed to the people who embody the space and the things that, again, we can create together in the culture and all of those kinds of things. And it just kind of brings me back to, why do people choose to live in cities? And I mean, look, like part and parcel, again, of the yarn that I was spinning before about the closure of the King's Arms. At the same time, when I first was getting involved in politics, I was just watching so many of my mates move overseas to, you know, Melbourne or Berlin or London or whatever, you know, where they could have a decent standard of living for, you know, lower cost of living, where there was functional public transport and a decent nightlife. And I was just kind of like, okay, cool, like, sure, of course, you can move, go have the experience, whatever, whatever. But stay and fight, you cowards. Nothing's going to change if everybody cool keeps moving. We need people to invest in the cool here. So I guess that's my call to action to anybody who may be shooting at us. Fight, guys. We can have the country that we deserve. We can support our communities, but people need to step into their political power, because Lord knows it ain't just going to happen.
And that, do you know what? I've got another question for you, but I feel like you've actually almost just answered it through your beautiful yarn there. I was wanting to ask you that you've been vocal about sustainability and systemic change, and how do you think that the creative sector can help lead that conversation?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways to interpret the idea of sustainability. And I think basically it looks like, if you kind of zoom out, you know, there's all this talk in politics of this thing called the economy, and there's a lot of attempts to frame it in this kind of right-wing neoliberal frame of things where it's just about profit or whatever, but that's actually not the economy. The economy is you and me, the stuff that we create, the planet that we live on, and the rules that we put in place in order to try and govern those relationships. It's not set on stone tablets handed down to us by some god. It's not a god that we have to sacrifice to when it's angry. It's made up. We can change the rules if they're not working for the majority of us. So I think, you know, when we're talking about creating or facilitating or supporting the arts to help to facilitate that kind of cultural change, it's just, it's kind of a symbiotic relationship. And I think as well, it's more than just sustainability, which tends to, I think, in some people's minds speak to, you know, the people who've managed to get into the crowd of those who are able to have a career, for example, in music or whatever other manifestation of art. It's more, for me, also about regeneration and how do we do succession and how do we ensure that there are pathways, particularly for more young local creatives, like find their feet and try stuff, try some weird stuff, God forbid. That's where cool ideas come from. And society is all the better for it if our aim is indeed to flourish as people, not just to, you know, serve the meat grinder of late stage capitalism. So yeah, I think it's just about understanding all of those moving parts from education and through and through. And actually, there's a really strong connection here to mental health and well-being too. You know, we had this research called Kia Ora Oranga, the Mental Health and Addiction Inquiry, in about 2018-19, commissioned by the former government. And it basically told us what all of the contemporary research does, that we're born with these brains and they have genetics in them, and we've inherited those from our parents and our grandparents, et cetera, et cetera, which can potentially predispose us more or less towards, you know, manifestations of mental ill health or not. But it's effectively our environment, the opportunities that we have access to, the stability in our lives, the, you know, risks that we can safely take and, you know, have resilience in, whether we feel a sense of belonging and affirmed in our identity and ability to explore that, which can turn those things up or down a notch, kind of aggravating or mitigating factors. And that's what I mean when I say that a decent guaranteed income for everybody in this country is suicide prevention. Like, stable, affordable housing is suicide prevention. Ensuring that people are getting access, obviously and very clearly, to mental health and addiction support. Sensible drug regulation is suicide prevention. So I think all of that, you know, is the kind of flip side of not only the positives that we can get from funding arts.
Mm, 100%.